Good morning and welcome to the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I am Joanne Haig and I will be your host for today. Looking after all things technical and producing the show as well is my good friend Dennis Johnson. The numbers to call, 434-1790. If you want to send us a WhatsApp message, 266-4862. Now today I want to start with something a little bit different. I am going to start the show with quoting something from the Bible, and then I will explain why. It's from James 1, verse 19 to 26. It starts off by saying, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, by doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." I can repeat that last piece. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. The reason I wanted to start with that is because social media these days, people are very quick to put a lot of what I call irresponsible speech. Not freedom of speech. There's freedom of speech, but there's also responsible freedom of speech. Those words sometimes turn into hate and hurt for the persons on the receiving end and their families. And I'm seeing it more and more and more being used via social media. The only reason that it will not come through this medium, this program, is that we have very good producers that will put their hands on that delay button to stop you from A, offending, getting yourself into trouble, getting the station into trouble, and certainly not defaming another human being. So we've come down to things like laws, what we call divine laws, which is God's laws and man's laws. And there are a lot of laws that were created by man from the Bible, you know, that there are consequences for your actions, like if you kill someone and, you know, you'll go to prison and so on. But there's also some laws, really and truly, in terms of the computer, what you call misuse act, I should say, that those laws have been created to protect persons from being defamed publicly. Now, we can't stop you. People can't stop you from having your little conversation with your girlfriend or boyfriend and having your personal opinions. But certainly when you are using the radio station or social media, you still have to be responsible, because there are going to be consequences to your actions. It's not everything that you can put out there that you're free to do it. And then you will hear, "It's my page. And if you don't like it, don't go on my page." Or, "This is my phone." It may be your page and it is your phone, but you have no right to speak ill of someone in particular if it is not true, because there's simple questions you have to ask yourself before you share information. Number one, is it true? Number two, is it necessary? And number three, is it helpful? Now, if the answer to number one is no, is it true? Then you don't even need to go on to number two and number three. So I would urge persons who are on the receiving end of being defamed publicly via social media to seek the law, the lawyers, and to speak to the police, because there is something called the Computer Misuse Act. I believe the police need to share it a little bit more, educate those who may need some education in that department, so that when you are putting out your opinions, there's nothing wrong with you saying that a person is ignorant, because if they're ignorant to the situation, then they're ignorant. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with you disagreeing. But when you start to get personal and calling names and the people's family and so on, and especially accusing them of things that they didn't even do, but it serves your purpose because you're thinking, okay, I can get back at you. But if you want to get back at them, fight them based on the issue. Debate them like what we did in school. Now, we don't have to go down this low. So I wanted to start the show with that because I know what I'm seeing and it's hurting a lot of people. And I'm hoping that you at least listen to what is being said and go and look at yourself in the mirror and see whether or not you are participating in these types of things and if there's anything that you could do better in terms of what you put on social media. It is now 8 minutes past 10. We'll take our first call. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
It is Glenn again.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm very good.
Excellent.
Good.
First of all, some weeks ago, I would have made some comments critical of the way or the short shrift I thought was given to the Defense Forces 40th anniversary celebration. Mm-hmm. And I bemoaned the fact that I had not seen anything like features in newspaper, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Well, I was very pleasantly surprised, I think, over last weekend. Not surprised. I should have expected it, given the nation's track record in this field. But I was very pleased that the record had been corrected, where the nation brought an impressive feature on the history of the Barbados Defense Force just to commemorate and highlight this important occasion in its existence and its contribution to Barbados. I will not flatter myself to think that my comments would have had anything to do with the emergence of that, because they know how many months it takes. Having worked in this, how long it takes to put a feature like that in place, drama, advertising, plan it, get material, etc. So, but I'm very pleased that future generations will be able to look at it, look at that feature, mm-hmm. and see a proper account of the existence of purpose and role and status of the Barbados Defense Force that would not have otherwise been possible had it been just left, to talk about it informally or a few news features or whatever. So I want to commend the nation for that, again, for maintaining its historical role in Barbados' social history, etc. I also want to thank Sanger Price yesterday for giving some clarity on an issue I'd raised on Monday, when I mentioned about the lack of attention paid by CBC, mm-hmm. giving no coverage, no television coverage. I only watched the 7 o'clock evening news on CBC, which is supposed to be the biggest newscast in Barbados. I've always watched all my life. I watched it as it came on. So, and it was made to seem in some comments from people after I talked that I was being unfair to CBC because CBC might not have been invited. And but I'm glad to see that Sanker was able to establish him and other people that the press was invited and the press did cover it. My only contention, I don't want to make a heavy out of this. My only contention is that I still have not seen anything on the conference. Right? Mm-hmm. I only go up with the TV if you know. And I'm saying that it still has done the LP a disservice, because it is an important institution in Barbados. And let me digress here shortly. Somebody called yesterday, one of my critics, and said that I said the DLP was an institution about BS and do I remember BS and T and Trump planted that they were also an institution. Mm-hmm. And but the point is, it is so simple. One cannot compare a political institution like the DLP, which is formed governments, which depend on its legitimacy and its authority from the people, direct people voting, right, as against what existence could be given to a privately owned company, which depends on the shareholders and investors and whatnot. So the two are completely different. The DLP is entrenched in the minds and psyche and lives and history of Barbados as a contributor to Barbados in a way that the BS&T and those erstwhile institutions could not, because they were largely takers. They did not contribute significantly to the development of Barbados. So let me put that rest of that person who tried to make that what I consider an invidious comparison. But what I'm really concerned about is that in this attitude to how the CBC should be treated, because they mistreated the BLP in the past, it was not fair to the BLP in the past, therefore you must do the same. I do not support that. First of all, I think that
But would you say, if I may, it's not about supporting it, but acknowledging it?
Oh, yeah, of course. No, okay. I was not going to give you an example. Mm-hmm. My most outstanding example of the mistreatment was in the 2013 election. Remember that infamous old lady on the bus ad that the DLP put out to imply that the pensioners would have to pay on the bus if the BLP privatized the bus service, etc. Remember that infamous ad?
I think so, yes.
Right, okay. But that, to me, because a lot of people, I probably mentioned it once or twice, a lot of people know that the BLP fought tooth and nail to try to get a counter to that ad. And CBC played very harder ball than ever seen in an election campaign, where they moved the goalposts, everything. They asked for a change of that. What about this? Every time you sent material to counter that ad, they sent back wanting more. They have to check with that. So that is the example that stands out to me most in mind of really, really outstanding heavy-handedness by a government, which serves no purpose in the long run. It did not add to its benefits in the end. In fact, might have contributed to its demise. Mm-hmm. But I feel that even when you're victorious, you still have to be rational, fair, tolerant, accepting, humane.
Both sides, or all five of them, or how many parties there are now, because I'm sure there's probably going to be more than the two that we're accustomed to moving forward. But this style of politics, to me, will die out. I'll tell you what I mean in terms of how people, when you said, just because one did it this way, then the other one got to get back at this one, and so on and so forth. That's what I mean. People, I find, Barbadians, we always say that they're not stupid. I'm not saying that the older folks were naive, but I find moving forward, the younger folks will be voting based on facts and track records. And if you're new coming into it, you don't have a track record. You know, all of this, the rhetoric over the years, Glenn, and you have been in it too, in terms
I've
of...
I've been part of it, contributing. Right. Yes, I'm not hiding that. And, but I am hopeful that, just like you said, I'm hopeful that Barbados' democracy will change and improve in that way as the economy and the society have done better. I think politically, the maturity of the country also has to be taken into account, the political maturity of the country. But my only constraint on that thought is the fact that most people take their political decisions, and that's been proven across time and all kind of constituencies and elections and whatnot, based on emotional reaction, whether they like or dislike, whether they believe or they rather on a rational, hard, factual information, where you only use your intellectual being to make a decision. Right?
Politicians are the best salespeople in the world. I mean, when you go out there, you're selling yourself. The product may not be what it is, but it looks good on the outside.
It's all the political marketing, it's all about my perception. But my other point is, I was getting a wider point, is that, so I feel that our democracy has to be demonstrated, not in slogans and terms, not in terms of what you empowerment and enfranchisement and that, but in actual day-to-day living. Not only in our democracy, not only in demonstration, not only in when there's a major national occasion or whatever, but that in everyday people's life, people should be expected and want to be treated fairly and squarely, institutions, individuals, communities, etc. Mm-hmm. But I want to deal with a larger issue. Mm-hmm. Amidst this all...
Well, you got full board, so you got to...
This attitude of what has been known of triumphalism, where people celebrate their victories and their successes excessively, almost ad nauseum, there's still that very much existing among the supporters of the governing party. And it also brings to mind that there is no need for that, because everybody will get their turn. But in addition, I am concerned about, there's also a concept known in politics and philosophy of the tyranny of the majority, where there's a belief, and even a philosophy that the majority, once they have won the majority election, on the strength of that majority, people are entitled to put their interests above that of the rest of the country, and especially the minority. It's a very dangerous practice which should never obtained. And I hope that we are not beginning to see signs of that, and that becomes part of the established thinking.
But may I say this? I know we're not Americans, and I'm certainly not an American, but when Barack Obama won the first election, well, I cried. I will never forget. I was going to Miami the next day, and that nighttime, I cried and cried, and tears of joy. Of course, in the second election, and every day and every time he had to speak, I wanted to listen. I would get near to TV somewhere or pull up the speech if I miss it. Is that overdoing it in terms of my celebrations?
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where people are, where, for example, some members of the present government are saying the DLP should not get in the power in the next 4 years. They will not do this. They want to shut down anybody who offers.
But Glenn, you know better. You know better, Joe. You know that all of them do the same thing.
I'm not speaking. I'm speaking for myself.
Okay. Because I've heard that before.
I've never done it.
I've heard that before when the D's were in and the B's were in and this body will never,
And it was moving around, right?
But all the time. It's up to the public. Okay. It's up to the electorate. Yeah. It's up to, and it's not only in the marketing now, because as I said, people will gauge you based on your performance, and if you're new coming in, you may get a chance, but you may not get another chance. The point is that you could sell yourself, but the product better work, you know?
One last thing. Mm-hmm. A subject that has been dear to myself, and I think from your support of it. Today is the 29th,
and we are going to make sure we ask about the pensions.
Oh, no word. I think that rather than the my critics launching on me like they did, no, it doesn't bother me because I always resort to the Bible too. You know, there's a part of the Bible says, I think Psalm 86, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the ungodly.
Understood.
I take comfort in that. Well, but the point is, I think it is they should have directed their attention and their humanity and their humanity to pressing the government to give word of what is happening to these poor people. We have no information.
I totally agree, and I actually had planned to bring it up again today
because
we're going to try our best to see if we can get someone from the Ministry of Finance on the phone today. Thank you very much, Glenn, for your contribution. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am good, and you?
I don't think I'm going to ask you that question, you know. concern. So there's two major things I want to talk about, right?
Mm-hmm.
One, Barbadians seem to have this mistake. They believe that when you try to make yourself comfortable in your family, especially if it's in the development, you're rich. Right? If you've been working and for whatever reason you didn't improve your living conditions because sacrifices had to be made elsewhere, you're being criticized. Okay. Now, the water in Stanford and St. Philip, the development, have been going in and out. We all know about the outages and all of that. People is not blaming Water Authority for it. Because no man on this earth have control of how God rain or fall. They have been to get water. It is brown. People can't cook. No tanker was seen in the area. They made numerous calls for Water Authority. I think that Water Authority should look into it. Now, I'm going to tie in that to the transport board and the bus service and how certain people are treated. And Ruby Park is a prime example. I personally feel that every bus that's going to BFC should go through Ruby. Everybody in Ruby don't have a motor car. And you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get off at the end of the bus or just when you pass Hilda Scheme. You have real far to walk. Very, very far. If you get to San Luis Castle, it's no different. Right? I think transport board need to have a serious look at these kind of things, you know. He said he can send a bus that's going to call it Savannah True Ticket, where people can, it's less than a 3-minute walk. I feel that the people in Ruby deserve at least every half hour or every other hour, but not have buses going through there. If they do have them, you don't know when they're going to happen. It's not right. Anything can happen. People are watching you, John. Mm-hmm. So at least you may not be able to change your thing because you come off a protect. Let's say if you ever catch a protector bus, people that be watching you. Me, I just change my rules all the time. I don't want the same road twice. When I was living in Kingston, the first thing they did is traverse the whole of Kingston to see where all the tracks and back roads were. The first thing they did. Because my intention was not to walk the main stand. As I come through the back and come through the bush and climb over the wall, I have my reasons for doing that.
Okay.
So the next thing is...
Before you move on, you mentioned transport. I just wanted to say congratulations to Fabian Wharton, taking up the position as CEO of the Transport Board. I'm pretty much sure he's going to do a fantastic job, and I wish him all the best. But continue.
I congratulate him either.
Well, I am, and
you haven't started his job yet, and right. I'm not going to prejudge him.
Exactly.
Right? So I'm going to keep quiet.
That's and a good start.
Mm-hmm. If he step out the lane, I can be on your neck. No. This next thing got me.
This is your last point, because I got a full board.
We've been here that transport board always losing money. But yet, transport board, or the powers that be, are putting transport board to lose money. Why say that? You got the St. Lawrence Castle buses, they have to go through full base. The minibuses go straight. So that's a big disadvantage of transport board. The bypass, when the bus comes up to the side road, it makes that left turn on a place called Fairfield. The minibus goes straight. License authority or transport authority made these playing fields or whatever you want to call them level. Because the people that are putting transport board at a disadvantage are government agencies. That's what got me, you know. Who can do or who should have done better? They have been put at a great disadvantage. By the time that bus traverse Fairfield and come by the residence post office and go across the residence by government house, by the time you get across or to go across a road or whatever you call it, you don't see the minibus anymore. Mm-hmm. That's income being lost by the raise bus fare. When we, the people, and the people that are making the decisions about how you design or where we do to the road, we do it.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
Thank you so much for your contribution. One WhatsApper says here, good morning, Ms. Haig. My apology if I misspelled your name. That's fine. I do understand and agree with your opening remarks this morning, but it's not always that easy to refrain oneself from expressing anger in the way you stated. It's terminally hurtful when you give of your best, take care of someone's needs without them having to beg you or ask you. Show them love and kindness, then to witness indifference and devious behavior from the very person whom you have shown much love and attention to. It's even more painful even when you speak to the issue to be told, I don't beg you for anything, and et cetera, et cetera. I understand where this person is coming from, but they're coming from a personal nature, and it sounds like if they might have obviously been hurt by doing something for someone and then having a heated exchange. My preamble really wasn't really speaking to that, because everybody knows in relationships we'll say things that we don't mean. Everybody does that. I'm talking about speaking publicly or writing things about people in the public domain, social media, WhatsApp, here on the radio station, people that you don't know well. I'm certainly not speaking to people that you personally care for or that you're in love with. I think we all have been through that. Broken hearts, harsh words, things that you told them about their past, present, future. My preamble really wasn't about that. That is something between you and the individual. And we all have to work on that kind of anger management. but we're speaking about what we do publicly and how we pull down each other publicly that can cost us our job, our marriage, our reputations, things like that. I was actually more gearing towards. This is Down to Brass Tacks. It's 10:30. You are on the air.
Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
You started on a good note this morning.
Well, I would like to think.
Bible.
Okay.
Now, let me say this. I will continue because I had expected my friend Lisa.
Lisa will be with us in about two weeks.
Because the Bible. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I took up my Bible this morning, because I have said already on the radio station that the first thing I do is read my Bible on mornings. When I took up my Bible this morning, it came forcefully to me because I had made a reference already that the Bible is a living book. And it came forcefully to me, which I had asked myself, or a question was asked from my mind. Do you realize that a Bible is used by a priest or whoever believes in the religious side of it? Wrong book. But if you go into a lawyer's office, you see a volume of books, but the priest only got to adhere to one book, which make it simple that the average man could read and understand. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That how important that book is. And you would understand that throughout the world, it is getting sales more and more. As you say, you got to know what you're selling. But the world is getting aware of what is happening. And everything in the Bible comes back to mankind. Now, let me start off what I want to do with my findings. And they always say, God got to give me the inspiration to do these things. Because I have a heap of newspapers here. And sometimes when topics come up, I just usually choose the right piece of newspaper to reflect on. Now, we in this country went through a barrage of accusations pertaining to corruption, mismanagement, and all other things. And today, I want to deal with corruption. And listen to Proverbs 23:16. He that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. You hear what I said?
Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
That is Proverbs 23:16. Now, I happen to find an article that was written April 29, 2007, Beware of Cricket World Cup Audit. And remember, there was the Commonwealth Secretary General Don McKeon. You read anything about him?
A little bit. Go ahead.
Right. And he warned about, he said, McKeon pointed out that corruption was public enemy number one to democracy and development.
Mm-hmm.
But he went on to tell you that corruption throughout the world estimates say that each year U.S. $400 billion is lost into corruption. But anyhow, I can conclude, because I don't like talking long. What he said is that they started an integrity group, and they can give you the name of the United Nations Convention Against Corruption. You following me?
Mm-hmm.
He went on and said, on January 20th, 2007, there were 140 signatories to the convention, which entered into force on December 14, 2005, while 83 countries had ratified, accepted, approved, or acceded to the convention. This is not what Albert Bamford is saying. This is Albert Bamford article. Unfortunately, according to my research, Barbados is not one of those states that signed on to the convention, whose four main pillars are prevention, criminalization, international cooperation, and asset recovery. And he went on, according to the UN, corruption can be prosecuted after the fact, but first and foremost, it requires prevention. Now, you remember in this country, we were talking about corruption. Do you realize that what I said to you just now, that the Barbados government in 2007 did not sign on to that convention? Do you realize that, what I'm saying?
I'm listening to
Barbados
you, yes.
The Barbados government did not sign on to prevent corruption. And they were put in 2007. And then they also went on and said that whenever they passed the integrity legislation, it would not be going back. It would not be retroactive. But here in the convention, they said any person with corruption can be charged before and after. So we got to wait. I am waiting peacefully. I got some more information that I find out. Big up on corruption here in this country, you know. Accusations that were laid. I am waiting until that integrity legislation be placed before the parliament and I can pick it to pieces.
Yeah, it's taken a little bit of time before it comes through. I recognize the integrity legislation.
But remember, integrity legislation was the first order of the day. How it gets so far back down on the calendar.
But I don't think any legislation that you change or amend or bring, you can make retroactive, though. You can't.
But you hear, you understand what I just said. You didn't
yes.
be a politician, I tell you. But I'm talking about the convention mm-hmm. that was made by the... Listen, let me repeat. This was coming from the United Nations Convention Against Corruption. And if you're part of a United Nations, how come that you don't want to adhere to the rules of the corruption for your own interests?
Well, all of the UN agreements, people sign on to certain things. They don't do all of what the UN says. They don't ratify all of the things. And which is, as you're just saying, that you can't just pick and choose. But sometimes if it doesn't suit your country or beneficial to your country, and I'm not saying about corruption, I'm speaking in general, then sometimes you may not. I mean, there are a lot of things that I recognize that Barbados was late to sign on to, the rights of persons with disabilities. I think I have to check to see the rights to water. Things like that, that the United Nations advanced countries to sign on to. So there's so many different aspects, but it's not every rule that that they bring or policy or global initiatives that they put there that everybody signs on to. It takes a while for some countries to sign on to it. Sometimes it is that they want to get their own house in order and then do it with the United Nations in terms of signing on to theirs as well.
I'm saying to you mm-hmm. is that if you were interested in solving corruption that has been taking a toll on the society, take for instance, the country as a whole is crying out. Now I read to you, he that taketh from the rich, from the poor and give to the rich. Right now in this country, the people are crying out of the VAT that is given to the rich, but yet you're taxing the poor. That's what the Bible tells you.
Mm-hmm.
That means understanding the book. That means understanding rich and poor. And that's the understanding of how a party chooses what it wants to do. David Thompson did the same thing in Toya. When he wrote off the money from the turf club, but then taxed the poor man.
But you see the same thing. That's the funny thing. In 2008, it was 2008 or 9, I think 2008 December, where it was for the turf club. It was written off. But remember, when you write off something and you have an agreement, which at the time I thought it was to facilitate night racing, I could be wrong. And that was what was said there. But again, subject to correction, someone can correct me. But again, we don't know whether or not there are deals out there with the fact that if I take off easy with the taxes, then you have to employ X among the people, or you have to do this, or you have to do that. I don't know. But it happened with the previous administration, and clearly, similarly, things are happening in terms of taxation. But we do have to take a break, and thank you so much for your call.